thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank you for his word. Thank you for the hope we have in him. Always there is hope in the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you that there is always hope in you. This morning we stand here because we know there is always hope in you, dear Jesus. Lord, as we open your word, we want to acknowledge it is your word and it's your spirit that knows how to feed it to us the way that we need it. And God, it's your spirit that knows how to write it on our hearts. So help us to open up and receive what you have for us, and let everything that is said and done be said and done as you would have it to be done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk about what the Lord has given us is remembering Jesus. And it seems like ever so often, I guess it's been about 25 years this summer that since the Lord first had me step into the pulpit as preaching, and over that span of time, it seems like the Lord brings me back to a little message like this. And so this morning, once again, we want to talk about remembering Jesus. And I think the point, the reason I mention that is that I remember the Laodiceans. He says, he talked about them, and I'm probably getting them mixed up. Let's just say that through the churches in the Revelations, he talks about being, you know, not realizing you have need. In other words, he talked about you're doing all these things, but you've left your first love. And so there's this thing where we get into this Christian walk and we get rolling with it. And every once in a while, we just need to be reminded who it all started with and what he did for us. And so that's kind of the tenor of this message this morning, what I feel like the Lord has given us. So let's look over in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And we'll start with the first verse. And Paul here says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." I didn't come just bringing my experience in my life, that Paul had a good experience. He had learned a lot. He had grown a lot. And those were things he did bring with him. I mean, they were with him. They're part of who he is. But he said there was a purpose here greater. I didn't just come bringing those things to you. That's not what I came to give you or to point you to. All right, he said, "For I determined not to know anything." Now, did Paul really not know anything? No, he still knew everything he knew, but there's a purpose he had. So he said, "I determined to just put all that aside and not know anything among you. Be as though there was nothing else I knew except Jesus crucified." Yes. All right. And so he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Who he was and what he did, all right? "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Wisdom is a good thing when it's something that is given by God, and it is good to share it. And we want to share the wisdom, the experiences God has given to us. How many times do we? And if we say them right, we'll say, "Look, I'm not sure what God's really doing in your life, but here's something I've experienced that seems like it's similar." Something to that effect. We'll share with each other. We'll say, "Maybe this will help you in your life." And so we don't want to ignore wisdom. We want to listen to it and consider it. But ultimately, there is, you know, all of that still can't make the change that needs to be done in our life and do the work that needs to be done. There's a power that's needed in order for the work of the Lord to be accomplished in our life. And so he said, "I came to you in a demonstration of the Spirit and of that power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That as we walk this walk, we would never come to a place where we stand just simply in the wisdom that God has given us. We don't want to throw it aside. We don't want to ignore it. We want to treasure it. But we never want to come to a place that we're living by wisdom, by our understanding. We must live by power, by faith, that it stands in the power of God. That's why we can't just do what we think, no matter how good we think. and on and whatever wisdom we have. We have to hold on to this fact that all of this that I have, there's a power I must have for any of it to mean anything in my life. Amen. All right? And so my faith must stand in that power. And we want to, as we talk about that, and that's the word, the power, is going to come up in several of the verses that we read. And our faith standing in this power, we want to get a hold of the core of what that power is really doing for us. We can really break it down. We can say, well, it helped me here, it helped me here, it helped me here, it helped me here. But there's a singular purpose in all of that that God's working for. There's a reason for this power in our life, and the reason and a reason why it's necessary. You know what? If God heals me, that is a wonderful thing. And it can be a blessing and a milestone in my life. But at some point, I'm going to die. Right. The Lord, that's the creed. There's nothing in His Word. He's not taking that out of the place. I'm going to die at some point. You know what? If I have a particular need at work and God comes through, that's a real blessing in my life. He comes through miraculous for me. That's a blessing. But one day the job's going to be gone. And one day I'm not going to be on that job anymore. And if I have a financial need in my life, and we've talked about this, and some things we've walked through are like, I don't know where it came from. I really don't know how we ended up having to do this to do with what we needed to do, but it was there, and I don't know how it happened. That's a milestone in our life. But at one point, the things we did with that money, the physical things that money accomplished in our life and the money itself is going to be gone. Right. If that's all that is going on in this life, well then, what do we have? But all of that, there's a power working for a purpose, a greater purpose than all of those things. And we want to get a hold of that this morning. Amen. All right? So let's look a little more into this. John, the 8th chapter. Let's turn over there. 8, and let's look at the 24th verse. And he's speaking with some Jews, the Pharisees specifically, and then to the Jews. And so he says, I said therefore unto you, 24th verse, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And so right here, we get the first allusion to what this power is. Because what Jesus just said is there's a condition that you stand in. And if you don't do a certain thing, if you don't believe in me, then you will remain in that condition. And in other words, there's a power that will not be open to you unless you believe in me. And so here Jesus says and shows us this power that is coming in our life, the purpose behind it, the ultimate purpose that won't go away, that won't disappear, that all of the things He's doing for us in life that power is doing is all coming back to this point, is that we would not die in our sins, that we would not die in separation from God. This is the thing that can't be done any other way. You know, it's not possible. It might be possible you go out and fundraise. Amber and I could have probably fundraised in some of those cases, and maybe we would have got the money. Maybe the money would have come in. It came in miraculously because we trusted God. And it's a milestone in our life to see that power at work. But maybe there was another way that I could do that. Maybe there's another way I could have handled that situation at work. I'm glad I trusted God because His miraculous power now is a milestone in my life to know that I can trust Him. But maybe I could have done it some other way. Maybe there's something that could have happened in that situation. There's not another way this can happen. This is what the power of God came to do in our life. Let us never get so caught up in living as a Christian that I forget this is singularly what it's all about, is that the Lord would deliver me from the sentence of eternal death that's on my life. And it's a miracle. It's not just an arrangement. It's a miracle. It's something I opened the door to through my faith in the Lord. It's why, and all these other things, it's so important to learn, to say, Lord, help me, not just to go off to our own solutions, but to see the power of the Lord working, because in turn that all builds to a spot where I trust the Lord ultimately for my eternal salvation. I recognize the need I have of Him, and the more I can see that, the more, the less room the devil's got to work in my life, and the more I can do for Him, truly do for Him. He says that your faith would not stand in the power of men. I came in the workings of the Spirit and power. You know, if he had just come in his own wisdom, there might have been some things he could affect, but ultimately that can't affect the eternal need of our soul. There's a power we need to accomplish that in our lives. And so he said, if you don't believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So they said, who art thou? So let's look at who Jesus is a little bit as we remember him this morning, and remember that. For John, the first chapter, and the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He is truly something. He is truly amazing. This word that it speaks of here is Jesus. Jesus was the Word made flesh. All right? The Lord is not just another man. He never, no. Never. There's no, don't even, that's a teaching to be absolutely refuted. You know, sometimes people say, well, I really see it this way. And you're like, well, I see how, you know, I understand how you could see it that way. This is not the case with this. The Lord was not just another man. He was the Word made flesh. He was there in the beginning with God. And it goes on and it talks about him. It says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Do you think Jesus has power? He had power invested in him by God. But he was not just some man who God chose to honor. He was the Word made flesh. Yes. There in the beginning with the Father. Come down to earth for us. And it said, in him was life. Yes. And the life was the light of man. He brought something with him that he gave to us. Gave for us and to us. Alright? And it says, the light, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended or apprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And Jesus said one place, there was not another prophet like John. He was one of the most, and he put some significance on John. But John was still a man, just sent by God to do something. He did not have within him a power to give anyone. He simply came being faithful, and God demonstrated his power through him. But in Christ there is power for you this morning. There is power for me. He said, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sins. All right? If you will receive me, he's saying here in another way, as many as received him, to them gave he power. He did not just say, okay, that one's with me. They said, I'm really Jesus. That one's with me. I really say Jesus. No, there's something when we believe in Jesus and we're willing to receive him, then there is a power given to us to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Our faith in Christ, that your faith would stand in the power of God, in the power of God through Christ in our lives. So therefore, there is something. The Lord's not just going around and throwing power on us just to say, oh, let's do this thing and let's just throw power on them. There's a reason why it had to be done this way. All right? There's a need in our lives, okay? Otherwise, he would just said, okay, we're just going to put them on a checklist. Oh, that one said they believe in me. Check. That one says they believe in me. Check. And that's how he's treated. That's some of the doctrine in the world. It's just a checklist. It said there would be people who would have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. This is what we're talking about this morning. This is the burden of the message. That we not be found in that place. People who have a form of godliness but deny the power. So we're, with the help of the Lord, the burden this morning is we're talking about what that power is and what its purpose is in our life. Because there's another thing people will acknowledge. There's a power with Christ. Oh, he makes me feel so wonderful. Oh, he works miracles in my life. You know, Satan's the angel of light. Am I following the Lord or am I just following miracles? Am I just following things over here? What is the power I'm following in my life? Is it just, you know, we talked about just following teachings, but also there are powers. There are spirits in the world. What am I following? I want to know I'm following. I want to see. I want to follow the right one. I want to follow the correct one. So I want to know what it does in my life. What is its purpose? What is it really working for? Because in these situations over here, you say, well, it can get so confusing. Stand back and see. Is it doing what the power of God came to do? All right? And we're going to, I'll just go ahead and tell you, the power of God came to set men free, to deliver us from sin, to deliver us from the power of sin in our life. Okay, and we're going to talk more about that, but we'll give a little spoiler ahead of the game there. So is what I'm following, oh, it'd be so confusing. Okay, well, just wait for a minute and see. Is it delivering you from the power of Satan?
Amen.
Because that is the purpose in the power of God, and that's why our faith needs to stand in the power of God in our lives. Okay? It says, many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that were believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, directly from the Lord, through Jesus Christ in our lives. There's a song, and I meant to bring my, hopefully I can get all the words. Wonders of wonders, oh how can it be, that God became flesh and was given for me. The Almighty came down and walked upon man. Wonder of wonders, he died for my sins. All right? He didn't die to do all these incredible, wonderful, entertaining things, so to speak, in life. And these things that I'm just overwhelmed with the feeling of some kind of feeling in my life. He came and died for my sins.
Yes.
He came to deliver me from the power of Satan. All right? In Matthew, the first chapter. First chapter in the 18th verse. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There was a power at work here. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All right? Save. So now in the sense of saving me from something, if I save Hannah Kay, I remember we're going to Gatlinburg this week, Lord willing, and I remember a time we're at Gatlinburg and we're wading in the creek and Hannah Kay was small and she got in one little spot between us all. It was a shallow creek, but there was just a little bit of a wash. And she got in there, and that current took her under and held her in that wash, and she couldn't get up. And we're all turning around and looking at her. And Isaac was normally one of our quickest to react to a situation, and he was down there in a moment. He was picking her up. Well, she couldn't sing his praises high enough. She, you saved me. You saved me, Isaac. And he did. Well, what did that mean? It meant there was a power when she was helpless and she was stuck under the water and she couldn't get up and she was going to die. I mean, that's what would happen if she stayed there. All right? There was a power that came and picked her up out of the water and delivered her and saved her. So the meaning of salvation, sometimes we don't give it the power that comes with it. There had to be a power to affect what happened in her life. And we could start thinking about different situations. Think about how were they rescued. There was some kind of power that came in and changed the situation, whatever it was. When I fell in the water when I was a boy, my dad told me not just to step where the grass is because the bank doesn't go out that far. And I stepped where the grass was and the bank didn't go out that far. And I went under the water and I saw the fishes. And then my dad's hand grabbed me and pulled me out of the water. There was a power that saved me. All right. So when we see the word save, it comes with the meaning of the word power. But we don't, it's not given that so many times in the world. It's given just a acknowledgement, just a verbal acknowledgement or some kind of thing where things are just forgiven. But the word means deliver,
yes.
Protect.
Praise God.
So it's something that takes us from our situations and that have happened and it saves us. It delivers us from it, but it also protects us. See, it's got us before and behind. It's got us in both places. And it's got us with a power to keep us. It says he shall save his people from their sins. My sheep know me. They know my voice. When I call, they will follow. Why? Because he's the only one that has the power to save us from our sins, to deliver us and to protect us,
yes.
To keep us. It's all found in him. We've got to never forget who Jesus is and what it is that he's done in our life. And that because we can get in this phase of just living and forget the need for the power and that is found in him, through him. All right? So, I thought about in Isaiah where it says, is the hand of the Lord shortened that he cannot save? No, but your sins have separated you from God. That's what's happened. The Lord's arm is still able to save, but there's a separation here. If you don't believe, you will die in your sins. You're not going to bridge that gap. All the doctrine in the world, all the knowledge, all the wisdom found in good things in the world can't bridge that gap. It's the power of God that saves us and that keeps us. In our lives. As we follow on and we know things and we learn things, we share those things because they can help us all be even more focused on Jesus and more know who he is in our life and what's going on. But ultimately, we still all have to have this power at work in our life. That's why we have to make room for it. That's why I said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because it pushes out this space here. We have to keep ourselves set apart for the Lord. What does that mean in our life? Well, you're going to have to, we are going to have to be real about that. Lord, even in the little things, there's such an importance because this is not about just a name on a roll somewhere. This is about the power of God having freedom to deliver me and to protect me in life and keep me from my sin. Keep me from what? And I say it that way because there's a whole list of sins in my life that God has forgiven me for.
Yes.
But you know what? There's a whole list of sins that would be mine if it weren't for the grace of God. If it wasn't for his power delivering me from the paths that lead straight into those things that I would find myself falling to day by day. All the wisdom in the world couldn't keep me from it. I have to have the power that's found in Jesus. 1 John, the third chapter. It says, we'll actually start with the seventh verse here. The eighth verse is really the one we want to focus on. But it says, seventh verse, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. This is not just about what we're professing to believe in this morning. This is about what the power of God is accomplishing in our life. He that doth righteous is righteous. We could go into verses, but that happens by the power of God in our life. Our own righteousness is filthy rags. The Lord is the only one with the robes and the power to keep us. All right? So he that doeth righteous is righteous. Righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. That is who the devil is. All right? The Lord is righteous, and his power affects righteousness in our life. All right? The devil is evil. He is sin. And his power, sin in our life, comes from his power and the rule he has over mankind to enact his wishes and his wills in their life, his will in their life. Do we get a hold? Because sometimes we don't see it that way. We just think it's us and Jesus, and whether or not we're listening to him. But there's two powers that work in the life, in this world. One power is Jesus, is Christ, is God, to effect righteousness. And one power is Satan, to effect sin. Right. We're going to be found under one or the other.
True.
And by nature of Adam's transgression, we're all sentenced under the power of Satan. It's only in Christ that we can be delivered from that. That's the only hope we have of righteousness, is the power of God in our lives. All right? It says here, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. For this purpose Jesus came. This is who Jesus is. All the things that, you know, sometimes we think, well, he's the one that helps me here, he helps me here. He's doing all that for a singular purpose in your life, to destroy the works of Satan. It's why you can't just use him for the things you want. If his power is going to accomplish what it needs to in life, you're going to have to let go of this world, and you're going to have to let him have his way in your life.
Yes.
That's why the little things are so important. Satan's got big tricks, he's got little tricks. We need the Lord to have full reign in our life, that he can keep anything out of our life that would give Satan any type of a foothold, a toehold, or any type of a hold in our life. Because his power pulls in one direction. And if he can get any type of a grip, that's where he's going to pull. And the Lord's hand is not shortened. It's your sins, it's our sins that separate us from God. If we don't allow him to break the power of Satan in our life, then we don't have a way to deliver ourselves from this separation from God. And this is an eternal ramifications that we're dealing with this morning. So let's remember who Jesus is. Let's remember the purpose of his power working in our life. And let's give him free reign to deliver and to protect us. You pray for me.